It's so good to see you here today. Happy New Year to all of you. God bless you today. Kids, come on, join me up here. All right. Oh, man, better get my Bible. How are y'all today? Is anybody sad today? Did you have to take your decorations down?
Nope.
At your house yet?
We didn't do that yet.
Not yet? You know, Miss Audrey was cleaning up around, and I was trying to help her, and I had my Christmas Carol book out and another Christmas book I've had for a long time. And, you know, it's kind of sad to put all that stuff up. We've been celebrating Jesus' first coming to earth. Whose phone is that? My pocket's ringing. Hello? Really? You had to call now? For real? I'm in the middle of a worship, sir. Come on. Oh, special delivery. Okay, all right. Oh, I see him now. It's the delivery man. Wait a second. I have another gift to open. Isn't that nice? It's for me. It says, the gift that keeps on giving. Uh-oh. Let's see what it is.
Hope it's money. Uh-oh.
That's somebody else. Now, this is a wag in the church who shall be named later. To prevent temptation. All righty. Wait a second. That's a toilet paper roll. No, that's not a toilet paper roll. A paper towel roll. Okay, let's see.
I hope I have money in it.
There's a note in it. It says, to Pastor Dusty. Let's see what this thing is. There's no money. See what it says. Okay, it says, dear Pastor Dusty, I know you're a little sad today. Look, it's even on Christmas paper. I know you're a little sad today. It's the second Sunday after Christmas. I know how much you enjoy the Christmas celebration. Right, I do. The lights, the candles, presents, decorations, music, the plays. We had a great play this year, Brother Gary. Yeah, it says it right there, the live nativity. Were you reading over my shoulder?
No.
And the food, oh boy, we enjoyed the food a lot, a little too much, and a lot of other stuff. All of that will have to wait a year, sad. But the true meaning of Christmas does not leave us at all. Why don't you read these two verses from the Bible? Okay. Let's see what they say. The first one, it says to read is Isaiah 9:6. Let's see what that says, because that delivery man, he looked real important to me. It says, for a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. Who was that talking about? Who was it talking about? That's right. It's talking about Jesus. And was he born? And it says, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Okay. Let's see. And then it says, read Matthew 28:20. Okay, let's see what that says. Let's see. Okay, we're on a treasure hunt here. It says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, what does the rest of the note say? It says, so, and a Merry Christmas to you, Pastor Dusty. Every single day. So if it's a gift that keeps on giving, the gift that we got, what was the gift that we got at Christmas that we celebrate?
Jesus
coming. He was born. And did he stay a little baby? What happened? He grew up. Did he live a perfect life? Yes, he did. Did he die on a cross? Yes. Was he buried? Did he rise on the third day? Did he go back to the Father? And is he coming again real soon? Hey, it looks like I don't have to be sad anymore. Because I can celebrate every single day. Let's pray. Lord, for these children, we thank you. We pray your blessings on them. Lord, as they learn your word and fall in love with you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for them, their tender hearts, that they could feel you, that they could know you personally. Thank you for them. I pray for their parents and their grandparents and those who have authority in their lives. Lord, that you will guide them as they raise up these children in your name. Amen. Okay, you can go to Kids Zone now. The day that I hated growing up was the first day back at school after the Christmas holiday. That was my most unfavorite day. After having all that freedom and everything, the family and just being together and celebrating. I've told y'all that two things I decided before I reached puberty was, number one, I'd always want to have a worship service at Christmas time. Our church, for some reason, never had that. And we didn't do that. And I said, man, I just want to be a part of that. And the other thing was a live nativity scene. I've had a fascination with that since I was a little kid. And those were two things about the world in which I lived I was going to change when I grew up. And I want to thank all of you for all of your participation and all the stuff that we did over this holiday as we have celebrated the first advent, the first coming of Jesus. Now, are you struggling a bit? I've read several articles that they say that the time right after the Christmas holidays, the New Year, is a time where there is a dip in the emotional, psychological, physical, and spiritual health of people in our society. It's like the air has come out of the room. You ever feel that? Do you feel that right now? Or some things in your life that you're facing that you need his help. Now, we found this video, and I want to show you this video right now.
Imagine Christmas is over. All the programs have been performed. All the pictures have been taken. The carolers are done singing. The holiday parties have come and gone. The presents are unwrapped. And the big dinners have all been eaten. The Christmas music is turned off. The family's headed back home. Someone from work is on the phone. The kids have a practice to get to. The house needs to be cleaned. The bills still need to be paid. The groceries are running low. The stock market is still down and up and down. The TV is still on. The news is still worrisome. Life just keeps going as if Christmas never happened. But it did happen. Look around. The church is full of family and friends and laughter. Because the baby is still the Savior. And the Savior is still the gift held out to a world still looking for joy, an earth still waiting for peace, and the peaceful still sing in wonder of the God who gave his Son, and the Son who gave his life to add us to his family, and one day welcome us home. Imagine Christmas is over. But remember that it really happened. And it changed everything.
In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, hear the word of God, beginning in verse 14. And thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and will bring them all down as fugitives. Will bring them all down, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea. When did he ever do that? Coming out of Egypt. And a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will all lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched, extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, will declare my praise. Words from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah lived from the late 8th century into the 7th century. He was prophesying at a time, 722, when the northern kingdom was attacked by the Assyrians. They'd been warned by the Lord. You read the ample warnings in Scripture that they were going to be carried off. And they were. You turn over a couple of chapters from what we read in Isaiah 43, and you read even a fellow's name that came later in the next captivity when Judah would be carried off. And it mentions Cyrus's name. Imagine that. When Cyrus arrives on the scene in that next captivity, and he arrives there, and they're greeting him. Hey, we already have your name in our book, in our scroll. It's already been written. So here's Isaiah prophesying. He is speaking forth the word of God at the time when this first carrying off takes place, the northern kingdom. And then as we read in these verses specifically about Judah being taken off, they would be taken off by the Babylonians. And you read all this in context, and you see that God is revealing what he's going to be doing. Now, that doesn't take place. Here he is in the late 8th century, early 7th century, and that doesn't begin to take place until 604, almost another 100 years, on into, as they're carried off in three waves, 604, 597, and 586. And finally, they're all carried over into Babylon. He's prophesying about that. But in the middle of this, I wanted you to see it in context, but in the middle of this prophecy, what does he say? He says, "Behold, I will do something new." And when you start reading the Bible, you start finding out that God again and again and again does something new. He comes in the middle of a dark time. And it was a dark time in the northern kingdom. Later on, it would be a dark time for the southern kingdom as they would be carried off. And they would be discouraged. There would be discouragement. It was a dark time when Jesus would come. A very dark time on the earth when he would come. And Isaiah, in another place, speaks of that the light that would come. This light of the gospel, of the good news. You see, it is God's specialty to do something new. My question, do you need a new thing in your life? Are there areas of your life that you need something new? In fact, you don't need, you're thinking, I don't need what I have repaired. I need to jack it up and drive a new one in under it. Huh? Have you felt that way about some things in your life? Well, let me speak specifically about a few things. Because regardless of what you say, poo-poo, New Year, whatever, it's on people's minds because this is part of our culture. This is the culture you grew up in. You turn a page come January 1. That calendar. How's your health? Are you pleased with your health? You pleased with your diet? You pleased with the way you feel right now? Is it good? Is it bad? Can it change overnight? Let me tell you, we're living it out right now with Audrey's mother. 2 weeks ago, life turned on a dime for her with her health. It changed everything. Those dominoes just, and the implications of that, and there's some of you sitting here, you've never had to face that in your life. You've never had to face it personally. But hang around long enough. Hang around. God blesses you, rather elderly lady told me one time. I was this young 30-something. I knew everything. I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I'd preached this wonderful sermon on a Sunday night in our church. I mean, it was wonderful, according to me. And she was about this tall, and she stood on the step. I was on the lower step as we went out of our building, the lower step, and she was standing on the upper step so she could get eyeball to eyeball with me. And she had her finger on my chest. And she said, "Son, you'll get old too one day." And she paused. And then she said, "If God blesses you." How about work? How about school? Young people? Are you happy about your school? Where you are? What's going on with school right now? Logan's first semester in college, about 3 weeks into it, I think the realization of the real world came upon him. He came home one day, he said, "Dad, is there going to be a job for me when I get out of college?" Hey, don't look at me like that. That hasn't crossed your mind. Because there's some of you that have a job right now wondering if there's going to be a job for you in 6 months. So please, don't look at me like, "Oh, these things aren't happening in my life." I don't think about things like that, but we do. How about work? Are you happy with your job? Is your job happy with you? How about your family? Everything okay right now? Is any turmoil going on? Any drama going on? Are there things that are difficult right now? Are there relationships in your family that are difficult? Are there things in your family that you need something new there? Because you're looking at the track record and you're saying, "Hey, I don't want it to continue to be like it's been in the past. I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for a change in my life." Keep looking at baby, and I think, man, that's going to change all of our lives in about 3 more weeks. I'm going to be a granddaddy. Something new. I'm nervous about it. How about your friends? How about your friends? Woo, man. Especially the younger crowd. Those still in school, man, my friends. They're the greatest. Well, that's the crop I got this week. Can you depend on them? Are they going to be around when you need for them to be around? Or are they going to drop you just like that? That's a serious question. When you're banking on somebody, how about your soul? Do you need something new? Could you use that in your life? Another question. Are you just wishing something new is going to come along and you're going to hold your breath and you'll keep everything the same just like it is? You're not going to change at all, but maybe something's going to be new. In the 1950s, there was this TV program. And I don't even remember the name of it. Basically, it's black and white, of course. Basically, the guy shows up at the door with a $1 million check. And you know, the whole, you know, the build up of the program is how that changes people's lives. Of course, what we've seen, know now from, as we have lottery here, lottery there, lottery everywhere in our country, we've found out what does the influx of a lot of money do all at one time to most people? It destroys them. Because it doesn't fix anything that is wrong in their life. But maybe that's your attitude. Oh, somebody's going to show up. It's just going to suddenly change. You know, glory be to God. You know, my boss just had a personality swap. You know, he went off for the weekend and they did surgery and they actually gave him a brain. And suddenly, and his whole, and he has an attitude that treats us not like cattle, but like people. What's the likelihood of that happening? I don't know. Third question about this. Are you willing to tell the truth about your life? Because easy, always, when we're talking about change, we always think of change as out here and over here, which has nothing to do with us that is over here. It's all this exterior stuff over here. If we get this change, then over here it is going to be all right. But the interesting thing about that is you can change all this over here and this stays the same. You can dress a pig up any way you want to dress him up. He's still a pig. You can put bows, you know, wash him up, clean him. But what's he going to do? Okay. So, where do you start? Where do you start with this new thing? Let me read you a couple of passages. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses in Isaiah. In Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 18. He says, come now. South Georgia, we'd say, look at him. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. So the beginning of reasoning about anything that's going on in our lives, we've got to begin with the Lord. What does He have to say? But see, our prayers so often are like this. Lord, change everything so I'll feel better. Instead of, Lord, change me. We keep wanting God to change circumstances without laying a finger on our lives. It's like the student in class that can't understand why he's making failing marks in the class. And you ask him, have you done your homework? What's that? What's that? Another passage in this will be a very, very familiar one to you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Building of the temple. Had the dedication. If I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So in other words, whatever happens, here you go. And my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal the land. What's the Lord saying there? You've got to, like Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together. Let's take a look at your life. Let's open it up with the Lord. Let's look at my life, Lord. Let's take inventory. Inventory. Now, I want to remind you, as you begin this journey, as you start this in this new year, as you take a look at your life, there is hope. That's the first word. Do you really believe that God has a better way? That He will do something new? Can He do that? That's why I started with His track record. This book and history teaches it. No matter how your history professors and teachers in school have redacted this history, they can't change it. The historical record is there. About the plan and the purpose of God. God has done it again and again and again, and He's doing it right now. We're watching it before our very eyes. We're watching a country the size of a postage stamp that controls everything in the world. The whole world today revolves around what's going on in Israel. And with God's people today. Hey, it's the truth. So is there hope as we begin with hope? And maybe some of you today, that's what you need, is hope that my life can change, that it can be different this year, that things can turn around for me. My life will be different. The second word I'd say to you is the word accept. Accept the fact that God is ready, willing, and able to act for you. When we read that, that passage in Isaiah 43 about His attitude toward His people, how often, and you read the chapters that go before and the chapters after, how often God just kept going after His people and giving them another chance. And another prophet, and showing, and then we read in Hebrews where, you know, at last He has spoken unto us by His Son. He sent His Son to show us His great, great love. So today, if you're here today and you think, oh man, God doesn't care about me, doesn't care about my problems, I want you to know, He is personally invested in you. He loves you. He has gone to great lengths to reveal Himself to you. You think about all the times in your life where God has spoken to you, where things have happened and you can't explain them. Those God moments that are there. You know, the people that just showed up in time, they just happen to be there when I need them. Him revealing Himself. So there's hope in Him. But we've got to accept the fact of what He wants to do and not put up the force field. And say, God, yeah, I want you to change my life, but don't mess with me. What is your life? It is you. He personally loves you. The third word is change. All over that that 2 Chronicles 7:14 that I read to you. You know, y'all have heard by this time, if you've been a Christian very long, you have heard dozens of sermons on that very verse. I'll humble myself and pray and seek His face, turn from wicked ways. He'll hear from heaven. All that talks about a change. A change of attitude, a change of heart, which is a choice. Well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. God has given. The thing that separates you from the rest of the animal kingdom is the fact that He has struck you in His own image. You are different, and you have the prerogative to choose. You choose your destiny. You choose whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. He has given you the choice. What will you do with the choice? Every day He's given you chances to choose. And, you know, we're like the guy in the flood and the water's rising, you know. First guy, you know, calls him on the telephone, hey, man, you need to get out of there. You know, the guy in the truck comes by to get him, you know, water's rising. Come by in a boat later and pick him up. No, God's going to take care of me. Finally, he's on the top of the house. The water's rising. Helicopter. Might have been Craig, my son-in-law. Up there. Come on, yeah, grab a hold of the rope. No, God's going to save me. Sure, he said it real spiritual like that. You know, that kind of preacher, revival preacher tone. He's going to save me. And then he's in heaven. Next scene. And asking God, why didn't you save me? What does God say? Phone call, truck, boat, helicopter. And I always want to think, you know, if I were in God's place, I'd say, and why were you such an idiot? But God doesn't think like that. Thank God. How many things is He sending you right now? People, situation. But because your mind is closed, because your heart is crusted over, you can't receive it right now. It takes a choice to open, to change. That's the fourth word. It's the word open. Open your heart. Let Him speak to you. There's a lie going about in amongst the Christian world today. And here's the lie. That God only speaks to special people. With special messages. You know, I've got to be a Joan of Arc or a St. Francis of Assisi. Somebody like that. God to speak to me. I want you to know. Like that great pastor in Texas used to say every Sunday, as I listened to him preach when I was just a little kid, he would say, somebody you. It's somebody you. He cares about. He cares about what's going on in your life. He's ready to come and to help you. What if? So those are the two most terrifying words to me. What if? What if? You got the chance. You can choose Him. You can choose to open the crust and say, Lord, come. And then what does He always do? You see, when we invite Him to come, then we see that life has never been about my agenda. What does He invite us to do? He invites us to join Him. That's the last word. To join. To join Him. To come in agreement with Him. Some of our brothers and sisters use that phraseology all the time. I'm coming in agreement. That's one of my favorite phrases. I'm coming in agreement with you, God. I'm saying the same thing with you. You know, the very essence of repentance is that I have changed my mind so that I say the same thing as God. If you're thinking in Hebrew thought, saying it is doing it. It's a unity of thought, of mind, of heart, of commitment. It's not just talking about it. I'll join Him. I'll join Him. He says, I will do something new. You see, the harebrained schemes you've launched in the past to make things better, what have they done? Man, you've screwed it up so bad. How do I know you screwed it up? Well, I've watched some of you. And how do I know even before that? Because I did it before you did. All I've got to do is look in the mirror. And I see a testimony. The testimony of a screw-up. But aren't you glad that Jesus died for screw-ups? Aren't you glad that He wants to make things new? I will do something new. I will do something new. It's Him that's doing it. It's His power, not yours. It's submitting yourself before the Lord. Saying, here I am, Lord. I need you. One of the greatest gifts that Henry Blackaby, you know, the author of Experiencing God. And let me tell you, that, bar none, is one of the most influential pieces, books of literature in the 20th and early 21st century in the history of mankind. Everybody's used it. But one thing in that that he says that and this changed my life. He said, as soon as you pray and you open yourself to God, start looking for His answer. Guy in our church, I saw the scene where it happened. It happened this week. Was on his knees in his kitchen. And the pipes wouldn't go together. Can I get a witness on that, Brother Jason? While he's down there, I might as well whisper a prayer. I need help. He didn't send an angel. He sent He sent someone with angelic qualities. In fact, I was at Donnie's house. I come by their house, and I'm seeing Donnie cut through the neighbor's yard, and I'm wondering, why is he going in their backyard? What I didn't know, he was doing that Blues Brothers thing. He was on a mission from God. And God provided. God provided. And I got to witness it. Who's God provided for you? If your eyes are right here, you're never going to see help coming from any direction, nor are they going to see you. It's time to look up and to see. What does the scripture say? Your redemption does what? Draweth. Come on. Nah! What does that mean? Right here. His salvation is on the way. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let your salvation come out. Let it work out of your life so that you're different. So you're not a hypocrite at school. So the people that you work with won't think that you're some kind of jackass in the name of Jesus. But they'll see that there is a difference in your life. And God provides that. Because we can't take credit for anything. Make sense? Make sense? I will do something new. What do you need Him to do in your life right now? Are you ready? I'm going to lead us in prayer. Now open the altar. Remind you, Daniel's not here to show you the way. So the altar's open for you to come and pray. Go grab someone else. If you got something that's on your mind and heart, let's pray about it today. Let's take it before the Lord and let's join Him in what He wants to do in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here before us today. You have prepared our hearts and you are speaking. Very Spirit of Jesus Himself, come now. Come, come. Let us hear you. Let us know you. Lord, some of us have got some hellacious things going on in our lives. And we need you. We need you right now. So Lord, come. Come and speak and move and work. We're inviting you, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. The altar's open. Pastors, if you will, join me here. The altar's open. Come. We continue to pray. We ask Bethany and Matt, if y'all would, to come up. Please. I just so happen to have in my Bible here a little snapshot right here. And Matt, who is this in this picture?
My little girl.
And what's about to happen?
On Thursday, we get on a plane to start the trip to go bring her home. So, yeah. We're going to finish it too, yeah. So. We leave on Thursday, and then we actually get to spend a few days with Tim and Si, Deshaun. I don't know if some of y'all know them, and we're going to get to spend a few days with them in Seoul before we head on to Beijing. And actually, we talked to them last night. They wanted to say hey to everybody. They're a little excited that we're coming, to say the least, about as excited as I am, too. But on the January 19th, we actually get McCall. That's the day that's our gotcha day. So be praying for us on that day especially. So,
well, we assume y'all are going to be in contact with us, right? You're not going to be on blackout.
Long as our VPN allows us to get on the internet, we'll be there. So,
Beth, you have anything you want to say?
Woohoo!
Say that again. I don't think they understand.
Woohoo!
Being interpreted means.
Relief. Praise God. Can't wait. Let's go.
Amen. There you go. I should have scanned it so we could have it up on the big screen for you. But y'all have seen her picture. If you've been on the internet, if you've watched CBF, or anything, local cable, you've seen the picture of this child. Yeah, that's right, Spirit Newspaper. And so the Lord is working, and He is, it's almost surreal to think we're at this place, that they're actually going
to get this child and bring this child back here. And oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that God is in the business of rescuing orphans. That's all of us, isn't it? He's in that business. So we're going to anoint them and we're going to send them out. So if you want to come on down here, New Price is Right here, and we're going to lay hands on them and send them out. Did y'all hear that? Jerry's already claiming this child as one of Jerry's kids, you know? All right. So, Matt, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bethy, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and those two knuckleheads, wherever they are, right now.
Yeah, will be.
Let's pray. Now, Lord, I thank you for what you have done. I thank you, Lord, you have made crooked ways straight. You have leveled the mountains. You have brought things from darkness into light. And Lord, you have gone before this family. And now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have provided. You truly are the God who provides. Lord, we pray from a call right now. I pray that you will bring your strength, your protection to this child right now, that she'll feel that. She'll know that. Lord, you'll go before Matt and Bethany. Lord, they will know that you are with them. And Lord, that this isn't just a trip. Lord, this is a mission. Lord, because you're going before them and you have provided for them. And now, Lord, you're going to provide them opportunities to be a reflection of Jesus himself, the love of Christ. Lord, I pray right now that your anointing will be upon them as they go. Lord, they will shine forth and reflect the very glory of your image. Lord, in a place that has a lot of darkness. Lord, protect them. Lord, work out all the details. And Lord, may they be a blessing to the Ducharmes, Lord, as they are there with them too. Lord, we love you. And we now, in the name of Jesus, under the authority of Yahweh, our Father, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we send you out. Go forth in His name and come back with this child. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you receive this prayer? Amen. One other prayer before you go. And by the way, we'd sure like to get those cards from you. And if you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back. And one's up front here. In fact, you can bring that now if you like to, while I share this other thing with you. Angela's just shared with us that 400 churches have been closed in China and pastors have been put in jail. Let's pray for these, our brothers and sisters, right now, who are on the firing line, who are suffering because of who they represent. Lord, right now in your name and in your power, we ask you to go before these people, all these people that are representing these churches, especially, Lord, for these pastors that have been put in jail. I pray your encouragement. I pray your protection. I pray your power, Lord. And I pray that this attempt to squash the fire of the gospel will only lead to a spreading of the spark to many, many more people in your name. Lord, I pray for these families, Lord. I pray that you'll bring to them the comfort, the presence only you are in charge. We love you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the picture I want to leave with you. As they try to squash out the gospel, it's like taking a dry broom and going to a raging fire and hit it here, and all you do is spread the sparks there, and then when you draw back to hit it again, you spread the sparks over here. That's what's happened in China over the years. There's an underground, that there are people there that are serving the Lord. We have testimony sitting right here that'll tell you about it. The power of God. So as you go today, remember these in prayer. Remember Matt and Bethany. We'll forward out to you things that they send to us. And I tell all of you, Happy New Year. For all the tricks that I played on all of you this year, expect more next year because of the creativity that the Lord gives us in His name to spread His love to His body. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. We send you out. Bye.